Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hope your weekend was as good as the weekend of one Eldrick Tiger Woods. I think that might actually be impossible
Pretty
for
high
it
standard, Sean.
To be that good, but hopefully it was in the neighborhood. And hopefully you're watching that was part of the great weekend that you had, because we're going to be talking about it quite a bit on the show today. It is nice to be with you. Hope you got your taxes in as well. My name is Sean Pendergast. To my right is 20 to 99 year radio veteran Rich Lord. What's happening, Rich? Did you get your taxes in?
I did, okay, and it makes it that 20 to 99 you just mentioned makes it more than nice for me to be here today.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian McDonald behind the glass as always, so we are ready to go on a Monday. So Rich, please tell me that Sunday was not a day where you were recording Tiger Woods and then watching it later in the day. Please tell me you experienced it live with everybody else and where it stacks up on your 20 to 99 year radio resume of coolest comebacks or scenes or however you want to cap this thing.
Well, it's funny you should mention that. I was just having this conversation off air briefly with BMAC, and if Jim Rome were listening, he would not be happy with what I'm about to tell you. And that is that it was one of the very rare sporting events that I had to watch live. So I did. In part because I think many others, was caught just a little off guard when I woke up Sunday morning and realized how early it was going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember Masters ceremonies, and this is the one that CBS doesn't carry, the one out on the green that takes place after CBS signs off, that took place in the darkness. I mean, that's happened. The Masters has always been a much later finish, and I'm not quite sure why it was so much earlier. I mean, it was done by 2 Central, pretty much. Yesterday, but I watched it live, and it absolutely, I have to say, has surpassed anything I've ever seen Tiger Woods do, and that's saying a mouthful about what Tiger Woods has done. And the reason Jim Rome is not going to like what I'm about to say, Sean, is because I just heard Rome's Sports Minute at the top of the hour, and he was chastising Tiger's fellow golfers, and I believe also fellow major winners, and Masters winners, for getting a bit emotional in the aftermath of Tiger's victory yesterday, and some of them actually shedding a tear or two. Sorry, show of hands, and mine's going up right now. Who dropped a tear or two yesterday when that happened?
Yeah,
there's no doubt for me. That was emotional, incredibly compelling TV, and the emotional part of it was the most appealing part of it. The golf was incredible.
Yeah.
But the emotional part of it was just unforgettable.
Yeah, I think a lot of those golfers, those were tears of joy, realizing how big the purses are going to get over the rest of the year.
Well, that's the other thing with Rome criticizing in his Sports Minute, and you and I have talked about this in the past, not just in 2019, certainly. For the last 2 decades, every person on this planet who's made a living playing the game of golf owes a debt of gratitude to Tiger Woods, and that's just beginning to make the case for that.
Well, I think everybody who's tangentially had their career even immersed in the game of golf has been affected by Tiger in some ways, both positively during the Tiger boom period in the late 90s and early 2000s, or positively, I should say, and then negatively during this last decade or so, where he's been largely off the radar and irrelevant, and when he's been relevant, it's been for all the wrong reasons. And so, Rich, I think 2 things about yesterday. One, obviously you get to thinking just about how long 14 years is. The last time this guy put on the green jacket.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of ways
about 6 co-hosts ago.
Now that is one way to contextualize it for you. I had not thought about that.
Not quite 6, I exaggerate.
But not
for effect.
But not far from 6. I had not thought about that. There's a lot of people tweeting things like, this was the number one song. Twitter wasn't around.
It's a long time ago.
There's a lot of ways.
My daughter was in 9th grade. She's engaged now.
My kids, Rich, you know, all 3 of mine are in college. My older 2 were in 1st grade,
there
and
you
my
go.
Younger one was in kindergarten when Tiger last won the Masters.
Different world.
This is just one way to contextualize it where I find it interesting, I guess.
A lot of BlackBerry still out there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This is one way to contextualize it that I find interesting, just given the magnitude of the 2 personalities involved, Tiger Woods and LeBron James. The last time Tiger Woods won the Masters before yesterday was 2005, was also the last offseason that LeBron was getting started where he wasn't in the postseason. 2005 was the last time before this year that LeBron wasn't in the postseason. 2005 was the last time before this year that Tiger won the Masters. Now here we are 14 years later.
Good way to look at
it. Tiger is all the way back on top of the mountain, and LeBron James is out of the postseason. So I guess what I would say about that is not just the irony of those two guys and those two sort of polar opposites in terms of accomplishment in their career, but think about how long the period of dominance was for LeBron James from the time he started making the playoffs and going to the finals in 2007,
yeah,
and for him being the king of basketball for the better part of 10 or 12 years.
Yep.
Think about how long that period of time feels. That's how long it's been since Tiger Woods won the Masters. That's number one. And number two, and I think anybody who is a father can get with the emotional, get on the emotional level.
Yeah,
Tiger
that's when
was
it
on.
Got its most emotional yesterday,
when,
no doubt.
When Tiger's kids have only known Tiger in the version that he's been the last 10 years. The dominant Tiger that you and I and everybody else has seen, that's YouTube clips and pictures on the wall to them. They've never seen that before.
Yeah, Charlie wasn't born. Sam was a baby.
Right. And so Charlie was born in 2009. The visual of his son walking behind him, high-fiving fans, walking off the course, that's what got me.
Very little cooler than that.
I have two sons, you know, and it's always fun for me, you know, and for the last better part of the last decade, I haven't been around my sons every day. I've been here. They lived in Chicago. They're both going to school here in Texas now. I'm very grateful for that. But the moments where I've gotten to experience cool things with them, nothing on the level of winning the Masters, certainly in terms of notoriety.
But it was powerful.
It was powerful stuff, man. You can't be a dad and not get moved by that scene yesterday. And the scene of the videos, the old videos of Tiger hugging Earl, and think whatever you want to about Earl as a dad, Tiger hugging Earl, and actually you can think whatever you want to about Tiger as a dad and a husband.
Right.
The visual of Tiger hugging his dad in 97 juxtaposed to the visual of his son Charlie hugging him in 2019 was really, really cool.
Well, in this segment on Friday, Sean, you and I talked about what we were expecting to see over the weekend and what we were hoping to see over the weekend. And one of the questions I threw out there was, with everything that's all the water under the bridge over these last 12, 13, 14 years, and really it's been closer to about a decade. I think it was Thanksgiving 2009 when the incident took place. So that's 10 years ago. I wondered if Tiger Woods pulled it off this weekend, if the narrative might shift, because I still felt like there was a fair amount of dislike of Tiger Woods out there, based on what happened a decade ago, beginning on Thanksgiving evening, but continuing through to all the revelations about all the dalliances, and then of course followed up by TMZ finding him at a sex addiction clinic and getting pictures of him there, and you know it got pretty dark for Tiger Woods. But then I feel like after the win yesterday, I'm starting to realize that his has turned and become not so much a story anymore about a horrible husband, if not a horrible dad, if not a horrible person. It's now a redemption story.
Yeah.
Because not only has he overcome all those issues, but he's overcome, what is it, four back surgeries?
Four back surgeries, a DWI.
And that's what I was going to throw in there also, a DUI in 2017. So it became a story of coming back from adversity, not coming back from bad decision making.
If you're
and I think that's what turns it for me. I always felt I always was rooting for Tiger. I don't know why, because I acknowledged all the negative stuff. I just still felt like I wanted to see him do what he did over the weekend again, and now I want more of it. But I still felt like there was a fair amount of dislike for him because of those early things that went on.
Well, I think there probably still is, Rich. I think there's probably people who, even though it's not really their business to be forgiving or not forgiving Tiger, he didn't do anything to them, I think there's still a lot of people that feel that way. I don't think there's unanimity or even close to that among fans out there, the average fan, the casual fan. I don't.
Now, I think he had more people in his corner off that win yesterday than he's had in over a decade.
No question about that. No question about that. But I think here's the thing about America, Rich, is that as long as the transgressions that you have are things that are not physically evil to other people, like that they're assault or rape an attack on a child, things like that, as long as they fall into the category of garden variety human flaws. I'm not saying nobody got hurt by what Tiger did. There's a lot of broken glass from all of Tiger's dalliances. But as long as it doesn't fall into a bucket of pure evil, America largely will forgive if you're making an effort to come back. We're the most forgiving society in the world when it comes to stuff like this. So I think I'm with you.
I think America has now re-embraced Tiger Woods.
I think,
and he deserves it.
I think the majority of them have. I think it's great for the game of golf. I think for me, who's a very casual golf fan, it's added a ton of juice to the summer for me in watching it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And now, Rich, now him chasing Jack Nicklaus is a conversation point.
Oh, there's no doubt. And the stuff we used to talk about when he was unbeatable, which had been a heretofore unheard of concept in the sport of golf, but back when he was as close to unbeatable as it gets, we would talk about the Tiger effect. And we can talk about this more as the afternoon goes on for sure. But I absolutely believe that, what was it, three golfers in a two-group stretch among the leaders and would-be leaders finding water on the back nine, Molinari finding water twice on the back nine. I absolutely believe that the specter of Tiger Woods lurking was a factor in some of those mistakes made on the golf course, not to mention Koepka's complete yip on the 18th that would have forced a playoff with Tiger Woods, since he wound up making bogey. And, Sean, the other thing, anyone who thinks this is a one-off, I couldn't disagree more. Just look at the British Open and the PGA and winning the so-called fifth major, the Tour Championship, last year as evidence that this isn't a one-off.
No, it's been a progression.
He's back.
Yeah, this is not some wild weekend where he's, you know, like Jack in 86 was a wild weekend that came out of nowhere. The guy had missed three cuts over the last 2 months and bailed out of a tournament. Tiger had the best cumulative score of any golfer over the last two majors. He didn't win either of them, but he was near the top of the leaderboard in both of them. And if you added up those eight rounds of golf in the last two majors last year, he had the best score anyone in the Tour Championship. This has been coming.
Tied for sixth at the British Open, had the lead on the back nine of that British Open, and finished runner-up to Koepka at the PGA.
I actually think this is a really, really good thing. We'll talk about this later in the show. I think this is a great thing for guys like Koepka and Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, whatever name, Jason Day, any names you want to throw into the mix of these in their prime or entering their prime golfers. Tiger being back is a tremendous, tremendous thing for them. We'll talk about it later in the show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.